following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
Thank you for allowing me to come back tonight. I hadn't been preaching very much at night since I retired. And it is different. I don't know about you, but I didn't get a nap today. But anyway, I'm so glad to be here and glad to see you here. And, you know, we sing about in Christ we stand. And, you know, all other obstacles that come against us, you know, we can bring them before the throne of grace. I think the biggest thing God has given us is for us to come to Him and tell us or tell Him how we feel and what we were like, and then listen to Him and let Him tell us what He's going to give us. So anyway, God does want to bless you. And this might be sort of a continuation of this morning's message, but I'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. And if you need a title, it's Our Inheritance is in Christ. And I want to talk about the fullness of God right now, the fullness of Christ in your life. And I'm going to read verses 26 to 31. I'll give you a moment to get there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul writes this, and he writes, basically what he does in Corinthians, he sort of rebukes them a little bit. I have a little title right here over my verses that says this: the Corinthian believers were not of the wise. And what he's meaning here is that we're only wise when we follow the word of God. You know, sometimes we interject our thoughts before God, before the word of God, and we sort of get on a tangent and want to do what we want to do without consulting God. And it's not that God doesn't want you to have stuff, because He does. He blesses us in so many ways. But He desires us to come to Him and to, I'll tell you a little story we had when I was pastoring at First Baptist Napoleonville. We had a revival going on, and the revival guy was coming in. And we were trying to get him a place to stay in Thibodaux, because it was more convenient and ever, and you know, and the place we wanted, you know, they were booked. I go back and I would check, and they were booked. Go back and I would check, and they were booked. So I told my wife, I said, "Judy, I'm booking in by those places by the bridge, you know, on the side of Pankerville." So anyway, I called to book him. You know, I wasn't finished that I get a call from the motel in Thibodaux, "We got your room." And so you talk about she got on me with that one, you know, not waiting on the Lord. So we get impatient sometimes, and we need to wait on God. God has what's best for us. And so we talk about our inheritance tonight. Do you fully realize all you have in Christ? You know, we look at our life and maybe we're not where we want to be. Maybe financially, maybe physically, you know, materially. But there's nothing lacking when we have Christ. You know, He makes up for all that you think you want that you don't have. And it's not wrong to want stuff. You know, that's perfectly okay. This is a wanting world we live in. And we're all trying to get ahead, and we're all working for that purpose. But we should be growing in our walk with God, even in our projections for our life, that we ought to say, "Lord, is this what you want me to do? What can I do here?" And if we do that, I'm sure we'll look back in many, many years later and find out that God has been a part of our life. So we need to think about victory, and we have challenges in victory right here. But is it the same old thing over and over again? I don't know about you, but sometimes we battle the same old trials over and over and over again. And it's almost like, you know, when you say, "Here I am, Lord." And He might say this, but He wouldn't: "You mean you're back again with the same thing?" You know, it's that way. It's repetition for us. And I think maybe we ought to say, "Lord, let's break the repetition in my life that keeps me from coming back to You. If it's something you're watching that you shouldn't watch, turn the channel. If there's something where you're out that you shouldn't be, then leave. That's what God would have us to do. And I know we have family. We have family that's lost. And I don't get invited. My wife and I, we don't get invited to too much of our family things on her side and even on my side, because we're different. We believers in Christ. And they'll come to my house, but if they have a big gathering, sometimes they don't necessarily invite us. They do sometimes, but the general rule is I think they neglect from getting us, you know, because we don't drink, you know, we don't smoke, we don't curse, you know, and they don't want to hear about Jesus, you know, so our life is totally opposite. And yours may be that way too for family. And not that they don't love you, because they do. I have a brother. He's a couple of years older than me, and I go and I try to share the gospel on him, and he goes to another church. Or he's another religion that we were brought up in, and he'll listen, but he'll never respond. Never respond. And so I leave him tracks, you know, and stuff like that. At least he might read the track, you know. And I don't know if he's ever professed Christ in his life, when he read a track. You know, if you have some tracks, you need to give them out. Let me tell you what I do. I've been doing this for years, probably sent out thousands of tracks. You know, you get these junk mail with a self-addressed envelope in it. You know, a track works in that real fine. Don't cost you nothing. Every time you pay the electric bill, every time you pay the phone bill, every time you pay the gas bill, put a track in it. They'll read tracks. If you go to Rouse's, raise up a can of peas and stick one under it. That works too. And so what you're doing is you're getting the gospel out. People don't want me to confront it so much with the gospel, but what they want to do is they will read the tracks. Now, Chick puts out some as comic book tracks. And you know, it's just like reading a comic book. People love comic books. But it's got a story, and the end of the story brings you to Christ to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So you got some stuff out there. Pick it up and put it in, you know, pay it when you pay your electric bill. So that's a good way to share the gospel. It's a good way to start. So we want to begin now by just getting past what we are, getting past being saved. That we want to have a life that honors and glorifies Jesus. And let me just tell you right off the bat, this is a message for me as well as for anybody else. Because I don't care who you are, challenges are there. So we need to get victory in the challenges of our life. John said this in John 1:18. He says, of his fullness we have received grace upon grace to meet our every need. So grace from God is continuous for us as believers in Christ. Now I'm going to read you these verses. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'll read verses 26 to 31. And this is what it says. Paul says, he's talking to the church at Corinth. Now remember, the church at Corinth had some issues. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise are called according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble that are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things of who are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Think about your Christianity. It's rejected by the world. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. So God says, I can take nothing and make something out of it. That no flesh, this is why he does that, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, that's the believer, you're in Christ Jesus, who became for us, his four things here, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. These are the four things we're going to look at. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I ask you, Lord, for help, Lord, to share it. And Lord, we pray for ears to hear it, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we look at these four words in verse 30 right here, Paul states the ability is of God in Christ, and he lists these four things right here. And the first one he lists right here in verse 30 is wisdom. And you know, the Greeks wanted a sign. You know, the Jews wanted a sign, but none is given. The Greeks wanted wisdom, but man by wisdom cannot know God. I mean, you can sit down. I remember having a discussion one time on a job, and I guess we were talking about something in the Gospel of John, and I probably was sharing some things maybe. And I remember this guy, he told me, I can't remember his name, but he said, man, he said, I could quote you the Gospel of John. But he was lost. So just the fact that you can quote it might be good if it deals with your heart. But just the fact that you can do it doesn't mean you know Jesus. You look for the changed life. You look for the change. And that's the important thing here. The Greeks wanted the wisdom. And by man, by wisdom, you can't know God. And it's a relationship here. And he says in verses 21 to 23 of that chapter, this is what he said. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. In other words, it's not education. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who would believe. The Jews seek after a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. Paul said, we preach Jesus Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Now, I'm sure if you really live your Christian life out in the public arena, people think you're crazy. They just don't understand. So don't get offended. They can't understand because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's so important right here. But Jesus is the wisdom, the divine wisdom of God. He says that in verse 24, and he repeats that again right here in verse 30. So the world might look at us as fools. That's okay. It's because Scripture says this, if you're a born-again believer and I'm a born-again believer, we are strangers on this earth. You know, we're not going to stay here. I don't know how we're going. I don't know how I'm going to go, and you don't know how you're going to go. I hope it's peaceful. But at any rate, you know, you're a stranger here. This world was not created for us to be here without Christ. So God establishes a new heaven and a new earth. And boy, that's a beautiful thing because everything will change. It's hard to understand it all, but it will be beautiful, the Scripture says. And so the world might look at us as fools. And it's because Scripture says that we are strangers on this earth. So don't expect people to understand you. There's two places in the Psalms, Psalm 14:1 and Psalm 53:1. The Bible says this, verses 1 of both those Psalms. The fool says no to God. God says, if you don't believe in him, if you don't receive him, God calls you a fool. God calls you a fool. I remember one of the great preachers of old, he was up on a platform and somebody gave him a note. And he opened up the note. And all it said was, fool. He looked at it. He said, you know, it's the first time I ever got a letter with just a signature on it. So we're not the fools. The Bible says to those who reject Jesus, God calls them fools. So we see here, in Christ we're given wisdom. This is how we can understand the Word of God. Have you ever was reading the Bible and all of a sudden the light bulb went on? And I mean, it just hit you, bam, smack in the head. You understood what it said. And it might have been something you read 100 times. And all of a sudden, God flashes, he puts the switch on. And I like what my wife tells me. You mean you didn't know that? He says, yes, I knew it. But it just came to light. And that's the Word of God. The Word of God will bring light in your life. Jesus is the light of the world, the Scripture says. And in him there's no darkness. So if we want to be the light, we have to shine with living for Christ. So he says the first thing is wisdom. The second thing is righteousness in verse 30. And righteousness simply means right standing. And Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 5 in verse 1. He says, we're justified by faith. We're pronounced right. God pronounces us right through the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. John 1:12 says we become children of God when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So righteousness expresses the character of God. God is righteous, and he gives us or applies that righteousness to us by the Holy Spirit. We should live that way. God gives us the Holy Spirit to explain. Jesus says when he would come, he will show you all things. You don't hear too much about the Holy Spirit in Baptist churches. They're afraid to talk about him, I believe. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're saved, he lives in you. It's the Spirit of Christ that lives in you. I have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Ha, ha, ha. We'll celebrate the Holy Spirit. It's none of the foolish stuff that might go around in some of the churches right here. But he gives us by faith when we receive Jesus Christ. And we are to live out that faith. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit is given to you to help you live, to show you things. When you learn something in the scripture, the Holy Spirit has taught you. So as a believer, you know, we stand before God as never having sinned. Now think about that for a moment. You say, well, what happens to all my sins? The Bible says God buries them in the deepest part of the sea to remember them no more. In the Psalms, another place in Psalms, he says he separates you from your sins as far as the east is from the west. So whenever you sin as a believer in Christ, it's under the blood. But understand this, you don't lose your salvation, but you sure can lose your fellowship with God. And God says we're to come and we're to confess our sins. We're supposed to say, Lord, show me in my life what's that deterrent to really serving you. It might be some small thing, but there's no small things before God. The small things separate you just like the big things. A little sin is as big as a big sin because it took the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from it. So in Christ, you know, it says he's the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. So we are in righteousness. You can say, if you're a born-again Christian, that you are righteous in Christ. It means you have the right standing in Jesus Christ. Paul said, we must be found in him in Philippians, that which is our faith in Jesus Christ. So we see here that we have wisdom, we have righteousness. Now, sanctification. He talks about sanctification again in this verse. Righteousness and sanctification. Sanctification simply means to be set apart. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God set you apart. You were set apart for God. Jesus said this in John 17:17 when he was praying. He prayed for himself in the first part of the chapter. In the middle of the chapter, he prayed for his then disciples. In the last verses of the chapter, he prayed for you and me, future believers. And this is what he says. Verse 17 of John 17. He says, sanctify, that means set them apart through your word. He says, your word is truth. Here it is. Don't need nothing else. Now, we have a lot of study books that we use, and that's all good. But if it clashes, this is what matters. And I know sometimes some verses, there are some verses in scripture I don't think we can ever understand. And you know, it sort of irritates me a little bit. You go in, there's one in Hebrews in chapter 6. But anyway, you know, you go in, say if you got 12 commentaries on the book of Hebrews, you're going to find seven of them guys going to go to the left. Seven of them guys are going to, or six of the five, whatever, going to go to the right. So where is it? I think on some verses that we really don't know exactly what God is saying. Now that might not sound good, but when you got 13 guys and they split 7 and 6, something is wrong. And they're all Greek experts. You know, the Bible was, New Testament was written in Greek. They all know the Greek. And to me, it's Greek to me. You know, I don't understand it, but it's Greek to me. But, you know, you can read what these experts know, and you can learn from what they know. And some verses are just, I think God leaves it that way. And I think he might be smiling over it, you know, that they can't come to a conclusion. Well, anyway, Paul said we must be found in him. He must be found in him. And so when we have Christ, we have wisdom, we have righteousness, we have sanctification. We're set apart to God. And that's what Jesus said in John 17. Sanctify him through your word. Your word is truth. Now, the word here, I think, means two things. Jesus is the word. I think he means both. God is the word. But yet, the Bible itself is the word of God. You have too many people take the Bible, and you know, you can't just make it mean what you want. It says what it says. It's not something that you can look at an abstract painting and you can say, well, it looks like this or it looks like this. It's not abstract, it's absolute. It means what it says. And so we need to take it that way. But the writer of Hebrews writes this. He says, for he, meaning that we're unified in Christ, who sanctifies, and they who are sanctified are all one. So you and I, if we believe in Jesus, we're one in Christ. We're not Christ, but we're one in Christ. And who represents Christ to us is the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in us. That's the Spirit of Jesus. I mean, it's nothing hard here, but Hebrews 10:10 says to the believer, we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once and for all. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Whereby you must be saved. And so it says, I got that on the back of my truck on the windshield. Acts 4:12. Jesus saves, you know. So anyway, I had a guy one time years ago when I was working, and he came up on the job. He says, who's that truck for out there with that Jesus saves on it? I said, well, that's mine. You know, he was a believer, you know, and he wanted to talk about Jesus, if I remember right. So it will connect you with people. You know, people who know the Lord are brothers and sisters. And I don't care where you go. There's a fellowship. We're connected in Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. We're connected. I remember years ago, Judy and I went to Florida, and we had a laundromat washing some stuff. We were both reading our Bible, so we had our head in the book, you know. And we didn't realize it, but the dryer had stopped. There was a lady on the other side, come feed the dryer for us. She didn't want us to stop us from reading the scripture. And I said, that's a pretty good deal. You get your clothes dried for free. But we ought to be always, you know, Jesus said this, that we're one in him. And Paul is, I mean, the writer of Hebrews right here, Corinthians, Paul says that, you know, we set apart to God. So what's lacking right now? Maybe I could question myself and say, Chuck, what's lacking in your life? You know, where are you struggling? And I can say, Lord, I have issues, maybe eating. I have issues maybe on looking what you look at on TV. I have issues maybe just in general how I conduct myself in public. You know, we can ask God to help us with this. And so what I would do if I go out in public, I should say, Lord, I'm going out in public. I need to remember that I'm your representative. I belong to you. Now, wouldn't it be bad if someone saw me acting wrong and it reflected Christ to them? That's bad. So I should act. And I know how it is when somebody steps on your toe, you want to step back. But sometimes we just got to take the bruise and absorb it. So you can come to Christ and have the fullness of that fellowship. So we don't lack fellowship with the Lord. So we had wisdom given. We have righteousness given. We have sanctification given. And now the final one, he says in verse 30, is redemption. Redemption means to release, to deliver, to buy back. Paul said this to the church at Ephesus in chapter 1. In him, that means Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. God's grace is rich. It does what it's supposed to do. He's willing. And it's not how we do. It's how God does when he blesses us through grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Now, he also gives you mercy. That's not getting what you do deserve. So we have the grace of God getting what we don't deserve, and we have the mercy of God not getting what we do deserve. No one deserves to be. It's because of the blood of Christ that we are. And so we have a purpose in praising God right now. Redemption means to release, to deliver, to buy back. And in redemption, three things apply right here. You're no longer separated from God. Paul wrote in Romans 5, we're justified by our faith. We have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. Let me read you a couple of verses out of John 14. And it'll be verses 13 to 15. Jesus is teaching on John 14, 15, and 16 about the Holy Spirit. And in chapter 14, I'm sorry, chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. And he's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. He's teaching his disciples here. In verse 13, however, he says, let me read verse 12. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13, however, when he, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. Verse 14, he will glorify me, he says. For he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. So the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to teach you, is to show you. Jesus is not on the earth today, his Spirit is, the Holy Spirit is. And sadly enough, we see when Christ comes and takes the church out, we have a period of time called the tribulation that comes along. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is removed from the earth during the tribulation period. And that allows the Antichrist to come to power and to go wild and do all that destruction. It'll sort of be like the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, he didn't live in the believer. He came and he departed. He came and he left. That's why David would pray in Psalm 51 when he sinned with Bathsheba. He said, when he prayed, he said, take not your spirit from me. He knew that God could remove that spirit. And if you and I right now, God would remove his spirit, we'd be in trouble. Because we have no leadership, we have no power, no strength, no authority in the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ who is the authority in the Word of God. And the third thing right here is that the final victory, one day we will be free. We will be delivered from the presence of sin. Of course, this one comes in the future, and we'll go to heaven. So verse 29, sort of back in Hebrews, Corinthians, I'm sorry. Verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. It is written in verse 31, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So the final victory is that one day we'll be free. We'll be delivered from the presence of sin. It will no longer be in sin's presence when we go to glory. So that one is future here. But no flesh can glory in his presence. We can't glory before God because of the flesh. Only when we have the Spirit in us can we glory before God and give God glory in our life. Verse 31 says that. That as is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So you can only give glory to God if Jesus Christ lives in you. So we can glory. Let me read you some verses I'm going to go back in Jeremiah. I'll pull these verses up this afternoon. Chapter 9. I want you to listen to these two verses. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories in this, that he understands and he knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, saith the Lord. We can glory in the fact that we know God, and we can have understanding in God. So I think it sort of tells us how great is the love of God for us. You know, we sort of move past that point sometimes, how much God loves you. I mean, you have children, you have family, you love them. And you would pay a price for them if you had to. God loves you that much. He paid a price for you. So he came down and he brought us salvation. We have an answer to our prayer right now. Something small, something big. What it is you're praying for? You know, nothing's too small to bring it to God. You ever ask a little kid what they'd like to ask God for? And it's not going to be some major thing, you know. It's going to be some small thing. But we can ask God for the small things in life. And we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to communicate with God every day. When you get to the traffic light and the guy in the front of you don't move when the light turns green, pray for him. Lord, make him hurry up. No. Pray for him. Maybe he's got problems in his life. You know, maybe his wife's in the hospital. Maybe she's sick. Maybe he just lost a family member. He's not communicating. We can pray over everything. And if we become prayer people, you know, we're going to take God with us. And you are praying for someone with physical problems. You pray for someone that's had surgery. You pray for someone who's having financial issues, family problems. It doesn't matter what it is. It's okay that when God answers that prayer, to give him praise. It's okay to praise God. And you know, it's even if it's a small thing, even if it's a very small thing. You know, God wants to use you and God wants to use me. And I'm going to close with this. God doesn't call you because you're a smart person, have education, have money, you have talent. He calls you when he sees your heart. Think about that. And he wants to bless you. And as one final note here, I know we read the stories about Moses in the Bible. You know, secular history pretty much says that Moses was, when he lived the 40 years in Egypt in the Pharaoh's house, he was a great general, from what I understand. That he, you know, he did stuff. And of course, we know what happened right here. 40 years, he thought he was somebody. He was a big general. Then when he killed that guy, you know, that hit the Israelite guy, he had to flee. So he spends the next 40 years in the desert taking care of the sheep or the livestock. Bottom of jobs. The shepherd was the bottom of the jobs. 40 years thinking he was somebody. 40 years finding out he was a nobody. Then God came to him at the burning bush. And for the next 40 years, God showed him he could be somebody in Christ. He could be somebody because he led the Israelites out of Egypt. And God used him mightily for 40 years. I like that story. He found out what God could do with a nobody. So I think if we'll acknowledge our nothingness before God in the situations of our life, that we say, Lord, I need you. I need you to work. I need you to help me. So let's close with that thought. You can ask God for whatever's in your life. And I think God will certainly speak to your heart about it. Father, we come and we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is true. Your word has the power to deal with our life. It has the authority, Lord, to move and to direct us in areas of life that we maybe don't have an idea what to do. But we just want to give you the praise. I want to close without saying thank you, Lord, for Jesus, that he would die for us. We know, Lord, without Christ, we have no hope. But he did come and he did die and he did resurrect and go up into glory and he's coming back again. And Lord, we look forward to that day if we're still living. But one day, Lord, we're going to be brand new people again. We're going to have brand new bodies. And Lord, they'll glorify you and give you honor and praise. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege tonight. And Lord, thank you for the people here tonight. We just ask you to bless them as we close in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.